Hello. Today's February 25th, and another month is almost over.
But you got the extra day.
And leap year. Leap year, William.
Use that extra day to browse the store at level1text.com.
Because real life is for March.
Oh, we got the new Thinking Sand shirt, and teaching sand to think was a mistake.
And a mug now.
And a mug.
And so everyone's asked us where we got the plushie penguin, and we couldn't find the exact plushie penguin to sell in the store, but we did find a stress reliever penguin.
You could squeeze it. It's made out of that, like, foam rubber stuff.
So improve your grip strength.
It's not rubber.
Before Corona Chan takes it away.
It's some sort of complicated chemical.
It definitely won't give you cancer if you squeeze it too hard. Definitely. We've tested it. We didn't test it.
So many interns.
But get them now, because it might be a while before we get another shipment.
Yeah, genuinely surprised that that factory was still online. That's things.
Maybe they just found that in the back of a storeroom somewhere, and they're like, we got to get rid of this, like, before it's the only thing we've got left to sell.
We got to make room for the quarantine.
Yeah.
Clear this out.
There's a lot of stuff with new artwork, too. And there's also the light has gone, but I still work.
Shamelessly stolen.
I did the artwork. But yeah, the idea was shamelessly stolen from an image on Twitter.
Well, let's get on with it. And as is the tradition, we start with the FCC. And boy, is this an amazing FCC headline. Because if you'll think back all the way before the Trump presidency, wasn't it? Or was it after? No, because it was after, because Pi.
Yeah.
But that was one of the first things that the Pi FCC did. They got into power. And they said, we're getting rid of net neutrality. And there was a lot of hoopla about that, because they put up this thing on the internet and they said, come and voice your opinion. And oh boy, did a lot of bots voice their opinion. Well, now, X number of years later, it's all shaken out, and the court has made a decision that, you know, is not popular in the Pi household.
No. The FCC is forced by court to ask the public again if they think tearing up net neutrality was really a good idea or not. But the U.S. regulator tries to hide its embarrassment behind a series of sudden announcements. What is actually happening is that the FCC issued a whole bunch of press releases that are basically nonsensical and strange. One of the FCC commissioners actually issued a press release where the press release says in plain language, hey, what do you think about net neutrality and some of this other stuff? Everything else is just flooding the press release site with nonsense. Like, it's literally... it's the most blatant yet thing of the FCC attempting to do an end run around, like, process or any kind of...
Wouldn't the court, if they really cared, wouldn't they just be like, we're going to do a third-party assessment where, like, the FCC's not responsible for getting the responses to the survey? Like,
I mean, there's just no integrity. There's just no integrity.
So this is the title of the post on the FCC website. So do you think that sounds like it means, hey, tell us what you think about net neutrality? Because I don't.
WCB seeks comment on discrete issues arising from Mozilla decision. Yeah, no mention of net neutrality.
Now, the Register here, and I'd say most people in the universe, don't spend their days just combing through the FCC press releases, because most of them are nonsense. But the hero here is Jessica Rosenworcel, whose name I love.
That is a good name.
And
soon to be fired, Jessica.
She's the dissenting voice. She's one of the Democrats on the FCC board. And she did her own press release, which you're allowed to do if you're, you know, one of the people in power at the FCC. And she said, no, this is net neutrality. Come and tell us what you think about it. We have to redo this. So,
not that we have to take action on anything that you say.
Right.
Because clearly they're not going to, because, oh my gosh.
But you should go and do it.
Yeah.
Because all of these online newspapers will be combing through them, and if yours is really hilarious, you might get showcased.
And that's what matters. Make sure that you put your social media handle in the comment as well.
And especially if turning a VPN on makes your Netflix or your YouTube stop stuttering, you should comment on that, because guess what? Net neutrality.
People are killing you in the comments because Netflix doesn't allow VPNs.
You can still use a VPN.
Actually,
gotta roll your own with Linode, but that ad's coming next month.
Well, Maine...
This episode's brought to us by us.
Maine is one of those states that is kind of like fighting back on their own, because at the federal level, you don't get any protection from the FCC. And they're going after... They have their own net neutrality, I think, right? Weren't they one of the states that did something like that? And they also went after the ISPs for privacy, specifically the whole "we sell your browsing data" thing. And the ISPs, as you might expect, have a hilarious yet terrifying response to that.
ISPs sue Maine, claim web privacy law violates their free speech rights. What free speech might you have? Like, what free speech rights arise from an internet service provider providing internet service to a customer?
Businesses are people, Wendell.
I mean, I wouldn't think that the water company providing water to water company customers would create First Amendment rights, free speech issues, in the same way that providing internet service to internet service provider customers would create a free speech issue. But apparently I'm wrong.
Now, they're hiding behind this whole level playing field thing. So their argument bases, or it's not quite as blatant as it seems. They say that, hey, Google and Facebook can do this, and you're saying that we're not allowed to. So why don't you... They're tattling. They're tattling on the other people. It's like, it's not fair that they get to do this and we don't. Now, of course, you can't get to Google or Facebook unless you have an ISP. So they're clearly a different cog in the machine, but that's the argument.
I just hear that voice in my head all the time. Anymore.
A little bit of a scare in the White House, because the White House has their own communication system. And that's technically under the rule of the military. So when the Golden God or the Orange God picks up the phone and makes a phone call, that's going out over a protected line overseen by the military. But how secure is it?
Data breach hits agency overseeing White House communications. It's a little misleading, but DISA, it's the agency that's part of the DOD that is responsible for this, lost 200,000 service members' personal information. Whoops.
I think it was more than that, because if you have any interaction with this system, they have to vet you.
Yeah.
And the Social Security numbers were in there
from
the vetting, so they lost all that.
Got to patch your Magento and your Joomlas. I mean,
you think they have Joomla? Their excuse was, listen, we are basically under constant fire.
Yeah.
It's just like we're in a little bunker made of sandbags and the bullets never stop coming. So, yeah, it happens. We found it quickly. We dealt with it. It'll happen again. Whatever.
You remember the old Cisco phones that we stopped using like 10 years ago because they were insecure and not getting software updates? Guess what they still use? That's probably what some of the breach was.
So, if you were having some intimate conversations with Donald Trump, you might be on the list. Watch out.
Hey, man, what self-tanner do you use?
Wouldn't that...
That's a great question.
He doesn't need the money, but what if he endorsed that? How much would they offer him?
He could do it as like a skin cancer prevention thing. Like, really spin it.
I guess. And that wasn't the only thing in technology the Trump administration raised eyebrows with this week. They also took some sides in a court case. When it comes to big tech, Donald Trump has no problem choosing a favorite.
Trump administration backs Oracle in Supreme Court battle against Google.
This is the API battle. Now, again, on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 is a newborn child still umbilical corded, and 10 is, like the most technical person in the universe, where is Donald Trump's understanding of an API?
Negative 0.5.
So
he's a fetus.
You think he's dead, basically? Brain dead?
He understands more than the infant, but what he understands is wrong.
Someone has probably broken it down for him in like some really quick sound bites, which he got the first 10 to 15 words of before tuning out. But it seems that Oracle has been really friendly to the Trump administration. And one thing you can say about Trump, he seems to be loyal, right? Like, ignoring justice and fairness and all that, he's very loyal to his friends.
And by friendly, you mean very large checks were written.
Probably, yeah.
Wendell, I feel like you don't really have super strong political opinions for the most part. But, like, hearing that Trump backs Oracle, like, what does that make you think of Trump now?
I mean, it's just, Oracle is just hideously evil. Like, few people understand the depths to which Oracle will go in the pursuit of the almighty dollar. It is really, they stopped being a technology company a long time ago. And it is perhaps one of the most insidious things when you have a technology company or you have an evil entity like that masquerading as a technology company, because they are not a technology company.
But I think that also describes Google, except they're just still really good at technology.
Google is transitioning.
Yeah, yeah.
They're turning into Oracle.
They're probably on the downslope.
Probably.
But their war chest is going to be so much bigger when they get to the irrelevant.
And that will be dark times.
So, not shocking. Huawei is always in the news. And, you know, again, China is just, they've seized up. They're doing nothing. So it's weird that during this downtime, the U.S. government just continues to go after Huawei as hard as they can. I guess it's a good strategy. It wasn't enough that they cut Huawei off directly. Now they want to go through other channels.
U.S. mulls cutting Huawei off from global chip suppliers with TSMC in the crosshairs. So I guess the U.S. Is currently meeting. There's some kind of a meeting this week about new sanctions, and that could prevent TSMC from producing Huawei's chips, because right now TSMC makes a lot of chips for Huawei. I don't know how that works. Like, how does it work that the U.S. tells another country, like, stop doing that?
Their headquarters here. So, as long as they do business as an American company, he can control them.
Scary. That seems like the Taiwanese people will be like, what are you talking about? No.
But it's also, think about this, you know, quandary. Trump, one of his big campaign platforms was, we need to take the shackles off of these American companies so they can bring manufacturing back to America. But now, if you're TSMC, you might be forced out of the country by this, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're going to spin up a new plant in America. Wait, we can. They're dictating who our customers are? Let's rethink that.
In the spy world, it's often a very common thing to neither deny nor confirm. And sometimes the minutia which they will subject to that is surprising.
The CIA won't admit that it uses Slack. This is a very long article about a very long response to a Freedom of Information request from the CIA. And it was like, we can't confirm or deny that we use Slack because that would, you know, that's privileged information, basically.
Now, I think it was the GAO did confirm that they used Slack, and they gave all the information they had about it. Oh, it's the GSA. And they actually gave some of their channels that they have, and some are actually quite entertaining.
Esperanto, Hate Yo, Sports Ball, Critique Captain Planet.
It was garbage. And, of course, Discuss Tacos.
Of course.
That might be the title for this news episode.
I don't understand why there's so many channels for this.
Because government employees sit around doing nothing all day?
They have better retirement plans than the rest of us.
Well, assuming that money's still there in 20 years. Now, some of you get all, you know, hot in the pants. You get all lightheaded when you talk about 64 cores. Even though very few of you are ever going to use 64 cores. But what if I told you that you could get 300,000 cores?
Oh, well, I think it's more than that.
What's that going to do for you? Well, I'm rounding. Actually, it's not quite that.
Well, it's 290,000 times a crap load of cores. So
No, that's the cores, not the CPU.
Let's read the title.
290,000 cores.
It's crazy. U.S. Navy orders AMD and NVIDIA-powered supercomputer with 590 terabytes of RAM. That subheadline is, yes, it can run Crysis. 290,000 AMD EPYC 7002 cores. So that's a lot of cores. That's a lot of density. It's for the U.S. Navy. It's going to be packed with Rome and Volta GPUs. So it's the best of both worlds. Although those Volta GPUs, they're expensive.
I think this is the old one.
Yeah. This is the old IBM one.
It's going to be replaced.
That power hog.
It's impressive. You can do some cool stuff with it. That's going to be rolled out over the next couple of years, and it's going to be used for like weather prediction and stuff like that that the Navy might need to do. And I'm sure some top secret terrifying stuff.
Chris Bailey needs access to that technology.
I thought it was going to be nice weather this week. It was not.
It was sort of nice, but it was cold. It's supposed to be cold this week. We'll see if that's true.
cable companies, anyway, they really screw us. And we've certainly showcased story after story when it comes to that on this news program. It's one of our favorite topics. And very, very infrequently do you get a win for our side. And that's why you really have to savor them when they happen.
LA County DA's office reaches an $18.8 million settlement on behalf of 170,000 customers in that area over internet speeds. Oh, I forgot. Was it, it was Time Warner?
Yeah.
Time Warner. So, yeah, Time Warner sold speeds that there's no possible way you could achieve, and they would give you a modem that was not capable of reaching those speeds. And it's like, well, that's your problem. That sounds like a you problem. That's not a not an ISP problem. So that's one of the slightly more egregious instances of an ISP behaving badly. And it took, you know, squeezing this much blood from a stump that we could, you know, have any kind of a settlement. I mean, $18 million for 170,000 people is not really that much. It's like a $90 credit.
Probably got way more than that. But even then, that isn't nearly as bad as the stuff Comcast is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have slightly slower service than advertised than data caps and hidden fees.
Do you think, how much do you think it costs to install a Jeep Pi where he is? It's got to be more than $18 million, right?
Oh, they have made so much return.
Yeah.
On a Jeep Pi. It's ridiculous. That's probably like a 10,000% return on investment for a Jeep Pi.
Even at $18 million, assuming that's what it costs to install him.
Even when he gets out of office and takes his job at Verizon and does nothing for the rest of his life and they pay him off until they kill him, they're still going to be way ahead at the end. So, when you buy politicians, you really get... Actually, somebody did a study on that. You remember that? We did a story on that. You get a huge return on investment because politicians are cheap, it turns out.
Yeah.
Well, another state that's maybe battling for the side of good is New Mexico. So we talked about college campuses collecting data on the students. And people were like, oh, that sounds creepy. But it's even creepier when the students are underage.
Google sued by the New Mexico Attorney General for allegedly collecting location data, contact lists, etc. from students. State's Attorney General says Google gathered this personal information from Chromebooks the company provided for free. So they were building profiles on the students that were using Chromebooks. And it's like, wait a minute. They weren't really free. It's like, we agreed to this. Oh, no, it's children. Ah.
What is this? Is this just a 2x6?
That's what I've been trying
paint?
To figure out. I was just staring at it. Well, look at the other side there. There's like a yellow ball. And
a bird. These make more sense, but this is just a plank.
What's the thing? What's the white slug in front
of
the plank?
I think it's a whale.
This desk has far too many paperweights.
Yeah. I think they just picked up some stuff that was lying in the trash and was like, do a stock photo of this Chromebook.
Put this pear inside some Lucite. Okay, sounds good. Done.
Google...
5-minute crafts.
Google retorts and says that they do no such thing. They don't save that data. They only allow the school to harvest that data. They don't themselves do it. And
where
this
do they harvest it from?
This is nonsense.
Non-Google servers?
Listen, I don't know. It's telling you what Google said.
That's like James Clapper being like, no, no, we don't wittingly collect that data. We just collect everything.
One of the big things, so we talk a lot about the tech titans who are able to see over the horizon a little bit. And often when they do that and they see the other side, which is torches and pitchforks and the EU finding them into oblivion, and they're like, hey, regulate us. We need it. Bring the regulation. And I think we can add one more name to that list.
Elon Musk says all advanced AI development should be regulated, including at Tesla.
See, I'm imagining that like he went to visit like the AI they've been working on, and it like talked back to him, and he was like, "We gotta nip this in the bud." He's like really freaked out now.
He had like a mirror moment. He was like, you know, mirror, who's the smartest tech genius of them all? And it said Jeff Bezos. So now he's like, "You will be regulated." Now, he owns, what's the name of his AI company?
OpenAI?
Yeah, okay, OpenAI. And he kind of threw a lot of shade on them in this article because I think they've kind of like become more autonomous and he's not as involved because he's got 10 million projects. He doesn't like that. Yeah. So he's kind of putting them down here.
Well, the problem with
they
any
can't
kind of
focus without me
regulation like this is that I mean, it's a little bit like fire. Once you know how to make fire, it's over. So, you know, do you think that other countries are going to respect any kind of embargo with this? It's like, no. If you could download, you know, TensorFlow version 100 and, you know, produce a sentient AI from it, and it's like, all right, sentient AI, we're going to train you to kill the infidels. The sentient AI would be more than happy to do that.
But?
Right away, sir.
I mean, basically.
So, imagine, if you would, something that humanity has been doing for, you know, since the inception, since we, you know, crawled out of the cave, and that is cultivating certain kinds of plants. And imagine if a government could say, you're not allowed to cultivate these kinds of plants, and if you do, we can kick your door in and take all of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, transplant that over into your network, and they can say, you're not allowed to have this kind of software.
Well, surveilling the network's going to be a lot easier than surveilling the plants.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But they have to surveil your network because they have to watch out for those evil AI.
What a dark future.
And that gives them the way in at all times.
This houseplant is unauthorized.
Or you find government intrusion, and you're like, hey, you're hacking my network. What's going on? And they're like, oh, we smelled AI coming out of the window. So we did a traffic stop.
Your electricity usage was high. We need to search your house for computers.
So that's totally something that... And again, look at Donald Trump supporting Oracle on something that he cannot understand in any way. So that's where that's going to go. Sweden has, you know, they feel good about themselves. They feel like they're woke and they're marching into the future, leading the world. And one of the ways that they're leading the world is destroying cash, and with it, privacy.
Sweden starts testing the world's first central bank digital currency. So it's not for individual circulation yet. This is just to transfer money back and forth between the central banks because, I mean, let's face it, the central banks create money out of thin air right now. Anyway, this is really just a little bit more accountability and logging. That's all.
Something, something, IKEA. There's a joke in here.
I love that they... So, Central Bank Digital Currency, is the acronym is CBDC, which is, you know, CBD oil. How many people are going to be Googling one and get the other?
CBD currency, the new coin, initial coin offering at...
So, yeah.
Oh, hashtag no. Blaze it.
But there won't be any speculation in that coin because it's the same. It's locked to the price of the currency. But it would cut out, I assume, the fees of the credit card companies who cannot be very happy about that.
Yeah.
We'll see. The UK has finally Brexited. How many years did that take?
A lot.
I feel like at least two or three.
Was it not more than that?
No, it's been going on a while.
It's been a crazy amount of time, but it's finally over. And now we get to see the world did not, in fact, burn down the next day. So we've got that going for us.
More of a slow smolder.
But little things are popping up.
Exclusive. Google users in the UK are going to lose their EU data protection, according to sources. So Google is planning to move its British users' accounts out of control of the European Union privacy regulators, placing them under US jurisdiction instead. Basically, you use Google services in the freshly Brexited Brexit, and you your data is in the US.
Freshly Brexited Brexit. But it does,
I need more coffee. It's been a long morning.
It says a lot about our treatment of data that it's like, we'll just pretend they're American because it's easy to get away with over there.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate.
It's no wonder all these people were campaigning for Brexit.
The Navy is not the only one getting a hot new supercomputer. And this one, Krista, is purely for weather. How excited are you?
Oh, so excited. I can't read the title from here because it's all covered up.
UK to spend $1.6 billion on world's best climate supercomputer.
What's its name?
I don't know that they've named it yet.
Fluffy.
There's one named NOM, the NOM.
But that's just...
And then there's the European model.
Isn't that just North America?
Yeah, but they call it the NOM, like...
The North American model.
Yeah, but they just say the NOM. Like, no one ever spells it out. Or, like, even puts the period. It's just the NOM.
They just need... I need to take all the Threadripper machines in the office and make the Whopper, W-O-P-R, which is, you know, from more games than... Never mind.
So this thing is going to be way better at predicting weather. And they're just going to roll it out over time. I think by 2022, it will be fully operational.
X'd out.
And they claim that, again, the climate change is the specter that you use for everything, right? But they claim that as climate change gets worse and we get more like terrible weather events, predicting them ahead of time will save billions of dollars.
Not lives, just dollars.
Well,
all those vacation homes they'll save.
You got to pay for this computer. China has taken some radical steps to deal with the coronavirus, or as it's now known, COVID-19, because
COVID-19 Chan just doesn't have the same ring to it.
It really helps to raise awareness for a disease by renaming it in the middle of the pandemic. That's a smart move.
Did you see the video of someone getting loaded into like a fridge on the back of a truck?
That was weeks ago.
Was that weeks ago? I just saw it today.
Yeah, and she's screaming as yes. the stuff are in there. Yeah,
it's horrible.
There's a lot of terrifying videos coming out of China.
I did not see that.
So this one, now I wonder if, you know, the Communist Party, you're not allowed to really speak up. But was there anybody in this meeting that was sitting there thinking, this is kind of like the armbands?
China enlists tech titans to help track coronavirus with color-based QR codes report. It is literally green, yellow, and red. Like, green is you're cleared, yellow is extra testing, you may have been exposed, and red is stay home, you should not be on the street, what is the matter with you, you're endangering us all hail Emperor Chang.
So you get, I think you have to have this app on your phone to even go anywhere, and they're checking it, and your app asks you questions every day. And if your questions lead it to believe that you might be a little bit coroned up, your color changes.
But the thing is, though, like, you do this, say you do this in the morning. Like, you could be exposed at any point during your day and be spreading it and not realize it, but you still have green. I feel like that's just like it's a feel-good measure, but not really effective.
But, there is some effectiveness, because if you go yellow, and then the next day you go to the store, they talked about how at supermarkets, people will be at the door checking your color. And if you had yellow or red, you're turned away. So
what about like the click list? Can you like go online and be like, hey, I need some cough medicine?
Just gonna have to pay extra for the grocery delivery.
Wow.
Can you imagine the terror of being a grocery delivery person in Wuhan right now? Actually, I think all the, like, Lyft and cab services and stuff like that have been, like, requisitioned for body delivery.
Ooh.
Or at least they were, you know, when it was really going down.
So. And the sulfur output has increased dramatically. CO2 emissions have fallen dramatically.
It's good for the planet. As a lot of humans dying always will be. India is in the news this week twice. And not for the coronavirus, although they did get some cases, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
a lot of countries have at least one or two cases now.
Italy and South Korea are the big ones now. Blowing up. It's blowing up in South Korea.
It's time to start getting some medical supplies. Just, you know, quietly tuck a few away.
Good luck getting a mask.
Yeah,
well. You have to take out a loan. So the Indians, Kashmir is in India, and the rest of India doesn't quite get along with Kashmir. And especially the government. Not friends. So they do some weird things, including turning off their internet. Now, so the Indian Supreme Court said, hey, government, you're not allowed to do that. You can't just turn off the internet. So they're like, fine, we'll turn Facebook back on. So they turned on, like, what was it, 200 websites?
Yeah.
But they didn't just stop paying attention.
Indian police open a case against hundreds in Kashmir for using a VPN. So, yeah, it's like, oh, we've got a little bit of internet access? Great, let's use a tunnel and set up a tunnel so that we can get all of the internet access, because that's how the internet was designed to work. And then the Kashmir police were like, what? What are you doing?
Now, they're charging them with not using a VPN, because that's not a crime, but spreading... Oh, yeah, here we go. Unlawful activities and secessionist ideology.
just for using a VPN.
So, not great.
Use our coupon code.
Level1Text.com/support.
Which one do we...
It's on the support page.
Support, I forgot what it is now, but I don't know if they have service in India. They might. And Bengal, is that in India?
I thought it's Bengal, but it could be wrong.
I'm not actually sure.
I don't know. Is that its own country? No.
Well, I feel like we're really showing our American ignorance of geography right now.
Yeah, I got to admit that, you know, like the Asian continent, I'm not strong on that one. But I know that they have these exams, and oh boy, do they take them seriously. Like, really seriously. If you've taken the SAT or the ACT and you thought that was strict, you have no idea.
Bengal, I think it's Bengal, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, snaps the internet in 9 districts to stop the leak of board exam questions. So from 11 a.m. to like 3:30 p.m., there's just no internet access. And it's because the students are taking the exam and they don't want them to communicate with other students about what questions are on the exam.
Look, right here, this little blue box, India. So it is in India.
That would make sense since it's like the Bengal tiger. Bengal. Yeah. Bengal tiger. Anyway, sorry, we should really Google it next time.
Why do that?
Let's continue being ignorant.
People love making those, you know,
engagement high ground channels.
These American
they
swine.
They like to make those comments.
The algorithm likes their outrage, too.
Why not just let them? Give them the tiny bit of joy that they probably, that's the only joy they have in their otherwise terrible lives.
And we appreciate all the other people that just post random stuff that no one else is ever going to read.
I should correct myself. That's one tiny bit of joy. Now, they do have major explosions of joy when they shop at store.level1text.com. And that's when they wear it. When you wear that apparel, you get that long lasting endorphin. It's like the OxyContin 12 hour.
We are obscure enough that if you encounter somebody else wearing the apparel, it's like,
you can notice them, but be too awkward to approach them.
Oh, that's a side effect of me. I do that.
Israel and Palestine, they don't get along.
You right.
It's a controversial thing to say, but I'm going to say it. Not BFFs. And they're constantly trying to attack one another, but it's not a hot war most of the time. So they're kind of like, you know, trying to find side roads. And hacking is a big part of that. But how do you hack the military? Well,
it's easier than you think.
You know how they say it's like, you know, the route to a man's heart is through his stomach? No, it's not. It's definitely not.
Israeli soldiers tricked into installing malware by Hamas agents posing as women. They have some of the profiles here. They're full profiles on Facebook. And it was like, oh, yeah, there's a bunch more pictures on this other app. Go and install it. Well, the app is state-sponsored malware. It's very sophisticated malware, too.
Not a single one of these women is showing off how she can cook.
Teenage girls, Krista.
They're women, you know, you said through their stomach. They're not showing their stomach.
Right, I said that's their not cooking correct. Skills. I said that's not correct.
They're not showing their cooking
it's
skills.
Actually a different organ. So they claim to be teenage girls who had just moved to Israel from somewhere else, which explained their not being able to speak the language very well. And they were like, oh, I need somebody to show me around, and I'm so helpless, And these, you know...
You're so big and strong.
Yeah, these soldiers were just lapping it up like cats around a saucer of milk. And
Or a water fountain, as the case may be.
No, it's definitely milk. It's delicious, but it's bad for them. And,
not like Nestle water.
So these girls will be like, oh, why don't you install this other app so I can show you all my media? And then they would be like, oh, this app failed to install. But it didn't really fail. It was malware.
Pro tip, don't install apps on your phone.
Pro tip, hot teenage girls who contact you are never hot teenage girls.
What if they are? They're just not in my area.
No, still not. Still not. So moving on to social media, we have talked a lot about selling our data. What's the answer? How do we deal with it? And a lot of people have weighed in. Which political candidate said that we should get paid for it? Was that Pete?
I think so.
But the question is, individually, what is it worth? What is your personal data worth as one person? Because only in aggregate is it useful. And Facebook says that they've got the answer.
Facebook will now pay you for your voice recordings. The answer is not much. It's like $5. And this particular recording is they're looking for, I guess, inflections and regional dialects to better understand how things are pronounced in strange backwater places.
You have to say, like, hey, here. Portal. Hey, Portal, and then a name of one of your Facebook friends. And you have to do this 5 times per person.
Just $5?
Not even $5. You have to do that whole thing 5 times by invitation to get the $5. And then you don't even know when you're going to get invited the next time. So doing it the first time, you get nothing. Actually, doing it the first 4 times, you get nothing.
So my Appalachian accent's worth more than that.
That's what I'm saying. So this is really not a replacement for... I think this is just to make people feel better.
Though, to be fair, it would be nice to be able to call like any sort of automated voice system and have them understand what numbers I'm saying.
But that means that they can also understand what you're saying when you're in your car, and when your home assistant is listening, and when you're at the grocery store, and when you're at the bank.
Amazon Echo.
That's a fur piece down the road.
Facebook also continues to have woes in Europe as they go after them. How much was that, the newest fine? Or was that Google?
I think that was Google.
But they're going after Facebook as well. They're fining everybody that they can. And once again, we talked about this before. When one government sees what's going on,
like, wait.
They're like, oh, we need that.
It's like sharks with
we
blood in the water.
We got to get that. It's a perfect analogy. Yeah. It's sharks with blood in the water. And the U.S. government, and specifically the IRS, is definitely, you know, they're getting that sweat. Like, oh, I need that. Like, I want that.
The IRS has sued Facebook for $9 billion and says the company offshored its profits to Ireland. The trial, which Facebook expects to take 3 to 4 weeks, could see top executives, including hardware chief Andrew Bosworth and chief technology officer Mike Schrupfer, called to testify. So, yeah. I'm surprised that the IRS is doing this because similar cases against Microsoft and Amazon have not been successful.
So what they claim is when... Facebook, so the trick is you sell all of your intellectual property to a holding company in Ireland. And they claim that Facebook did that before the ad revenue thing blew up. This was before Facebook was making money selling ads. Now Facebook is the number 2 ad company. And they're insanely profitable. So the IRS says, you knew what you were doing. You got it over there. After you'd set everything up, you moved it. And then it exploded and you knew that was going to happen. Facebook said, we didn't know. We were just guessing.
I mean, I guess you can't really know, but at the same time...
They knew what they had.
Yeah.
Which was a mountain of data
for
ad targeting. So, Twitter has this new plan, and oh man, is this... people hate when we say this, but dystopian. There is no other. Orwellian. How about that? Because this brings back that whole, like, Stasi rat on your friends and incorporates social media likes and points into that system.
Yeah.
This is a dark recipe.
Twitter is testing a new way to fight misinformation, including a community-based points system. A leaked demo features bright red and orange badges for trolls.
Wow.
So here you go. This is a Bernie Sanders post about gun control. False. And I can't read that one. Who is that one?
I don't know.
I think this was a Trump-related... Or no, this is a coronavirus post that they say is fake. And I think this is a Trump one. So you get these... Now, these are the people who disputed it, and they were like, hey, no, here's a link to the actual facts. So you get the orange flag in that situation. But here's the thing. If you flag a bunch and you're not agreed with by the crowd, you lose points and you lose your orange flagging clout. So basically, you get punished for not agreeing to the narrative.
I was going to say, this would be really easy to abuse if you're like super popular already.
Yes.
And you just find some little guy and it's like followers berate them.
Yeah.
Remove their orange.
You have to be able to move a bigger crowd than the other side.
So it's a very malicious version of I reject your reality and substitute my own.
Exactly, yeah. And anybody... So if you have facts, but the crowd is still against you, you can't create the orange.
What if people don't have a basic understanding of science or biology or physics, and it's just an uphill battle trying to argue the basics? It's like, a kilogram is by definition a kilogram. It can't be anything other than a kilogram.
I just don't understand, like, who thinks this is a good idea? Because I'm like, we're just sitting here spitballing, and we've already come up with like 20 different ways that this can fail.
Is it better than nothing?
You're not looking at this the way, you're not looking through the correct lenses, Krista, because what did we just talk about with the petulant comments? This is user engagement on a level that we've not dreamed of before.
I also think about, you got to think about it in terms of, you know, like a GRU agent or something like that. It's like, what sort of chaos can I sow with this new functionality? And that seems like you could have a field day.
I mean, we criticize Facebook a lot, rightfully so. But I mean, at least Facebook's kind of like, listen, we're not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
What if that's 4chan's true calling, is to figure out how the system can be abused by trolls in order to harden it, to protect our
services?
That's
always what 4chan has done.
I think that is their calling. They just can't know that that's the calling. Because if they figure that out, then they're going to turn against that.
Yeah.
So it only works in this delicate balance. But we've also, I didn't put the headlines in here, but the whole thing about Bernie, they say that the Russian trolls are now helping Bernie. But I thought the Russian trolls helped Republicans. Seems like the Russian trolls just help whoever the establishment doesn't like.
It seems like the Russian trolls just help sow discourse.
Discourse? That's one thing that we don't have.
Dissent.
Oh, and speaking of dissent and people who sow discord, Mr. Julian Assange.
WikiLeaks Twitter account suspiciously locked just days before Assange extradition hearing. They had the hearing, and then the account was unlocked. So you can get to the account again. Everything's
That's
fine.
Weird.
Weird.
That does seem weird. This is the account that alleged that he was offered a full pardon from the U.S. if he would say that Russia had nothing to do with the thing.
Now, I read a contradictory article that said that they approached the government with that offer and were rejected.
Huh.
His lawyer.
That's weird.
Who knows? Who knows who's telling the truth there? Probably, maybe not even Assange himself.
Well, they have made him crazy, which I feel bad for him about. I mean, he shouldn't be subjected to that.
It does seem like if you blow the whistle and get in the, like, on the bad side of the government, they go crazy.
Yeah.
Which is alarming.
It gets sort of punitive. Like, oh, forget the rule of law. We're just going to punish you.
And speaking of tweets that are inflammatory, I guess you could say that certainly drive engagement because people love to argue about them. It's tweets about climate change. But we find out something interesting about them.
A quarter of all tweets about climate crisis are produced by bots. So Krista complaining about the weather, definitely a bot.
I never do that on Twitter. I just complain in real life to everybody I know.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a local thing to be complaining about on Twitter.
Yeah.
Maybe on Facebook.
Well, are the tweets like pro or for? Is it just bots in general either way?
That's an excellent question, Krista, that I would assume you already know having read this article.
Oh, absolutely.
But overwhelmingly,
for the viewers.
Now this is from a college professor at
Brown.
So maybe a little bit of political bias there, but he claims it is overwhelmingly anti. Like climate change isn't real. So it's like 20% are climate change isn't real and 5% are climate change is real from the bots. So who knows? I guess the Russians, in addition to Trump and Bernie Sanders, also support the climate change isn't real dogma. Who knows? And finally, Mark Zuckerberg. We have all seen him behave somewhat robotically when testifying in front of Congress or giving speeches. And another hilarious excerpt from a new book about him shows the depths to which that goes.
Zuckerberg's aides blow-dry his armpits to help with anxiety sweat before speeches, his book claims.
He's looking pretty dry here.
I wasn't aware. Maybe, you know, this is probably just propaganda. He can't sweat.
Well, a lot of deodorants actually inhibit sweat gland function. So
it's true. It's the difference between deodorant and antiperspirant.
He's I'm sure he's got, you know, some sort of extra features in his cyborg body that can secrete sweat at the appropriate time.
So consumed by his public image.
Yeah.
Yeah, the book is
can
apparently...
Can you imagine caring that much what people think?
He did actually start working out and stuff. I was really... Because he used to be a lot scrawnier, and now he's like, wow, you've actually, you know, put work into your upper body strength and stuff. I mean, nice.
Well, he's got all day to do that. What's he doing?
Taking the chute, the emergency chute. It's like a little slide in his conference room. He hits the button. It's...
That's another way he blow dries his armpits.
Wee!
Woo!
Now, they have denied this, and people
you know,
didn't,
he's upset.
Tweeted Jack Dorsey, and they're like, Jack, have you ever done this? And he made a joke about it. I don't find it hard to believe.
No. I'm like, the weird part of that is not that he's sweating before giving, like, a public presentation, because that's stressful. The weird part is that he's having his aides blow dry his armpits. That's the strange part. Can you imagine forcing another human being like, get in there, nice and deep, like... I gotta be dry.
I'd probably do it myself.
I can't.
Yeah, like that's less weird, but having someone else do it is really strange.
I don't find that the least bit hard to believe. If you told me a politician was doing this before a political debate, would anybody even bat their eye? Because it's all about public image.
Could it also be like cocaine? It's like, I really need the cocaine for going on stage. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, I don't think that would calm you down. Maybe a nice Xanax.
I think a lot of them are on those sorts of prescription
medication.
All right, what do we got for tomorrow?
Well, we'll definitely do business, and I think we're going to do the shorter, maybe robot.
Nice.
Leaving security, design, and nonsense for Friday.
There's so much nonsense this week. So much nonsense.